for Dezard after allowing the first four to reach and trying to turn things around. He's now going to be taking on Bayram Hot with runners on first and second and two away in the top of the eighth. Still an 11-run Madison lead. Dezard looks back to second. Now brings the pitch home, and it misses low for ball number one. And Hot, the right-handed hitting shortstop, he is 1-for-4 in the game. His last time up, a 10-pitch plate appearance that he ended up grounding out on. 1-0 the count, and looking back to second, Dezart fires. It's up the middle into center field. Running up on it is Rafters center fielder Bo Shane, and he'll throw it in and keep the runner on third base. So once again, they are loaded as Hot gets his second hit of the game. Osiesco over to second base. Carson Hansen over to third. And with two outs, Sean Britt's got an opportunity with them juiced. First pitch misses high and outside for ball number one. And Britt, 2-for-4 in the game. He's looking for hit number three. He flew out to right field back in the seventh inning. 1-0 the count on the way home. It's a grounder high towards third, and it's off the glove of Akko and into left field. Oh, man. It was a bit of a high bouncer, but just in and out of the glove of Madden Akko. And an E5 is going to allow Sean Britt to reach and keep the inning going. It's now 12-0 Madison in the top of the eighth inning. Bayram Hot goes to second. Cole Kosciuszko goes to third. And Carson Hansen came home to score. Brings up a new batter for the Mallards. Pinch hitter for them is Arnett, taking over for Frankie Carney. And first pitch to him is in there, called for a strike, 0-1 the count. And the right-handed hitting Aiden Arnett, a little bit surprising to see him in after Frankie Carney went 3-for-5, but just looking to get guys some more opportunities in the 0-1 count. Misses outside for ball number one, a 1-1 count, and Arnett pinch hitting. He comes over from Virginia Tech. At least a commit there. He's actually a high school senior. Just graduated high school and about to go to Virginia Tech, but signed here in the Northwoods League and sends one up the middle. It's off of Dezart and into center field, off of the back of his leg, and an RBI single for Aiden Arnett as he makes it 13-0, the Mallards lead in the top of the eighth. Bases remain loaded, and that sends home Cole Kosciuszko. They will officially bat around here in the eighth inning as Davis Hamilton steps back into the batter's box for the second time in the eighth. Bases still loaded with two outs, and first pitch to Hamilton misses upstairs for ball number one. Left-handed hitting second baseman. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Dart hit Hamilton with a pitch to start off the eighth inning. Hamilton was also hit by a pitch his previous plate appearance. 1-0 count, misses outside for ball number two, a 2-0 count. Prior to those, he singled in the fourth and he walked in the third after grounding out in the first inning. So he has reached base his last four plate appearances in a row and has a 2-0 count here. Pitch to Hamilton, misses outside. It's now 3-0, and Dezart has allowed just the one free pass, and that went to Hamilton on the hit by pitch. No walks issued just yet. But on the verge of one with the 3-0 count, and that one misses low for ball number four, and there is the first walk of the game for Desart, and it's an RBI for Davis Hamilton with the bases loaded. It makes it 14-0, the lead for the Mallards, and with that, Desart will come out of the game. So Ziggy going out to have a chat with him and take Desart out of the game as officially the call to the bullpen comes here, and not the debut that Desart was looking for. And even though he was able to locate relatively well and throw with good speed, it just didn't go his way tonight. And so Jafet Martinez comes into the game for the Rafters, and Landon Desart will come out. So quick break here, and when we come back, the Rafters trying to get out of this eighth inning. It's 14-0 Mallards on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
Mornings on WFHR.
A crash that covered an interstate in boxes of mozzarella cheese.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So this is one of those things that if it happened in front of me, God help me that there's a rational, smart adult next to me that tells me, James, you leave that where it is. You leave that where that is, James. It's free mozzarella. I immediately turn into my father.
Mozzarella gate.
Weekdays from 9 to 11 on WFHR.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
And Jafet Martinez making his return to the mound for the Rafters after he spent a little bit of time away from the team. He pitched at the HBCU Classic, and, well, that was quite the experience for him as he had a good time there and came back. I was talking with him earlier today and it seemed like he had a good time over the All-Star break. But back on the mound here after the All-Star break, he takes over for Landon Desart, who had a subpar debut, and the first pitch on the way to Michael Lippi is fouled down the third base line for an 0-1 count. And Lippi, the right-handed hitting DH, up for his sixth time this game, second time this inning, picked up his first hit of the game earlier in the eighth, back against Desart. And an 0-1 count as Martinez looks to work out of a bases-loaded jam with two outs, but a pitch is hit up the middle, and that gets into center field. Here comes one run. Here comes another. It's now 16-0 Mallards in the top of the eighth. A seven-run frame for Madison has them up big time on the scoreboard. Two RBIs for Michael Lippi as Davis Hamilton heads over to second base. Aiden Arnett scores from second, and Sean Britt scores from third. And the Rafters, they should have been out of this inning earlier in the eighth as Madden Ocko had one pop in and out of his glove over at third base, but not able to work through it. So while all of these runs will go on to the line of Desart, he's not going to have all too many earned runs. Carson Hansen up at the plate now. Fouls one off, an 0-1 count. Lefty-righty matchup with Martinez on the mound, and the 0-1 misses low for ball number one, a 1-1 count. Carson Hansen, 2-for-5 on the game. His two hits were both singles. No extra base hits so far for the Mallards, despite all of the 17 hits as the 1-1 misses low for ball number two. It's now a 2-1 count. Rather shocking. They've just been keeping the line moving. 2-1 the count. Martinez looks back to second. Now brings the pitch home, and it misses outside for ball number three. 3-1 the count, and Martinez looking to get back on the right track and recently committed to a college in South Carolina. And after pitching at Alabama State this past year, he's going to let one up into center field. And Beauchesne will run up on it and throw it back into second. And there was some miscommunication there as, oh, man, Michael Lippe was running for third base, thought that Davis Hamilton was rounding third. But Hamilton was not. And with the throw coming in, it wasn't in time to get the runner in between third and second. So it ends up just being a single for Carson Hansen, as they have had now six consecutive batters reach base, although one of them was on an error. Bases are loaded for Cole Kosciuszko, his second plate appearance of the inning. First pitch in there for a strike. It's an 0-1 count. So back-to-back hits against Jafet Martinez. Bases loaded with two outs. A 7-run eighth inning, and the 0-1 count bounces in the dirt and gets away from Maude, and here prances in the run from third base. Davis Hamilton just jogging back in there, and it's a wild pitch that brings the count 1-1 and makes it 17-0 Mallards in the top of the eighth inning. Everything going wrong for the Rafters here, and just not the way that we had hoped this game would go. Line now officially final on Landon Desart, as he allows eight total runs in the game, and that one popped foul and out of play. So a 1-2 count. However, not too many of those runs are going to be earned. I believe that only two of those are going to be earned runs. And the pitch coming here is going to get away from Maude, and that one goes into the dugout as well. And so the runner now from second to third, from third on the way home. And with that, it's a 2-2 count. And runner on third base, and Michael Lippe coming home to score. It's 18-0 Madison after that one. And at the first run of the game on the line of Jafet Martinez. 2-2 the count to Cole Kosciuszko. And, man, there's just not too much to talk about with this one. I mean, it's been a tough one all around. Kosciuszko, left-handed hitting first baseman, looking for hit number four on the game. 18-0, the lead for the Mallards. 2-2 the count on the way home to Kosciuszko. It's outside for ball number three. Full count, and now it's 3-2 for Kosciuszko. He's had a two RBI single back earlier in the eighth inning. Back up for the second time this inning. 3-2 count as Martinez brings the leg up, fires home, and it misses low for ball number four. So make that seven consecutive base runners that have reached for the Mallards, as the Rafters are still unable to get out of this inning. Runners on the corners with two outs. It's been a 9-run frame by the Mallards. They put up 13 runs in an inning against the Rafters earlier in the year. Back at Madison, trying to surpass that now. The first pitch to Moreno is fouled back to make it 0-1. And Moreno, up for the second time this inning, he lined out to left field earlier in the frame. And that line out, one of just two outs this inning, as the pitch there misses for ball number one. It's a 1-1 count. Runners on the corners still, and on first base, Kosciuszko, a little bit of a lead, but not really threatening to take off. 1-1 count is grounded foul down the third base line. And now a 1-2 count to the right-handed hitting third baseman. Trying not to be two of the three outs this inning. Liam Moreno. He'll get a new bat there, as it sounded like the last one broke on the swing. Kind of got in on the hands there. And so Moreno now back into the batter's box. A 1-2 count with two away, and Martinez just looking to get out of this inning. Came in with a tough situation and unable to work out of it. 1-2 the count is grounded high up the middle over towards shortstop. Going to be a tough play. Throw to first is in time. Got him. 6-3 on the put out, and finally we are out of the eighth inning. So the Rafters allowed 8 runs to the Mallards, as the Mallards had a ton of hits on the inning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hits in the inning, and the Rafters also did commit the one error while the Mallards left 2 on base. So we head to the bottom of the eighth. It is 18-0 Madison here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Well, Drayton Liu is coming into the game for the Mallards, as they will use their fourth pitcher of the night, and Drayton Liu taking over for Shudo Tiger Okumura. And Okumura ends up going one inning pitched. He allowed no runs, no hits, no walks, had one strikeout, no hit batters, no balks, no wild pitches, faced 3 total batters, and threw 11 pitches before handing it off to Drayton Liu. And first pitch on the way to Madden Akko to lead off the bottom of the eighth. And that one is going to miss for ball number one. So a 1-0 count. And Akko, 0-2 in the game. He walked back in the fourth, and the 1-0 count is fouled off to make it 1-1. Rafters down 18-0 here in the bottom of the ninth. Would be the worst loss of the season if it sticks. This year, the Rafters' biggest loss of the season came by 15, as the 1-1 count is called for a strike to make it 1-2. The Rafters, I mean, man, it's just been rough everywhere. Not the way they wanted to return after the All-Star break, and the 1-2 count is called a ball, just high for ball number two. 2-2 the count, and behind the plate, Sean Britt was about to throw it down to third until it was called for a ball. 2-2 the count. That one misses high, and it's ball number three. Full count now to Akko. And Akko 0-2 after walking in the fourth. Popped out and grounded into a fielder's choice his other two plate appearances. 3-2 the count. And Lou getting set now brings the leg up, fires it home, and Akko sends one high in the air towards right field, running over to it, the second baseman, and he'll make the catch for out number one. One up, one down here in the eighth inning, and that is now six consecutive batters retired by the Madison pitching staff. The Rafters have managed just one hit here into the bottom of the eighth. That hit came in the sixth inning by Landon Gaz, who is due up here in the eighth. Outside of that, Rafters still yet to score. First pitch on the way to Kareem Arusovic is popped up towards the shallow infield on the left side, and it'll be the third baseman Moreno who is under it for out number two. Two up, two down in the eighth, and the Rafters now have Landon Gaz stepping up, seeing if he can get hit number two on the game. And it was a combined no-hitter by Madison into the sixth inning. And while Landon Gaz picked up that hit, still nothing since, was not able to start any momentum. Rafters trailed 9-0 at that point, now down 18-0 as the first pitch on the way to Gaz misses for ball number one. So a 1-0 count, and Gaz, 1-for-3 on the game after his single. He flew out to right field and struck out swinging his earlier plate appearances. 1-0 the count is outside for ball number two, and now a 2-0 count. Gaz, the right-handed hitting left fielder, it's a righty-righty matchup with Lou on the mound. Lou's still looking for that first strikeout of the game. 2-0 count is fouled back. And now 2-1. Gaz mentioned it earlier. He comes from UC Irvine. Teammates of Frankie Carney, although Carney came out of the game with a pinch hitter, Aiden Arnett, coming in for him. And the pitch to Gaz gets a swing and a miss for strike number two. 2-2 the count. Gaz batting .344 on the season. He's riding quite the hit streak now. After the hit earlier today, Gaz was able to extend his hit streak up to 6 games, but he swings and misses on that one on the check swing, and that's 3 up, 3 down in the 8th. First strikeout of the game for Drayton Liu, and in the 8th inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base as we head to the top of the 9th, and the Rafters trying to get through that one pretty quickly and see if they can get back up to work and score a run in the bottom of the 9th. But top of the 9th comes up next. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Now, back to more Wisconsin.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back into Rafters baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, and Well, in the top of the ninth inning, the Madison Mallards leading 18-0, and the Rafters eyeing down their worst loss of the season right now. They will turn back to Jafet Martinez, who back in the eighth inning came in for Landon Desart with two outs and unable to get out of this situation there and allowed a run of his own. But trying to get back on the right track. First pitch to Charlie Marion is fouled away. 0-1 the count. And Marion, 0-4 in the game, still looking for his first hit of the season. And the 0-1 count gets a swing and a miss for strike number two. Now an 0-2 count. Marion, the seven-hole batter. So it'll be Marion, followed by Bayram Hott and Sean Britt due up in the top of the ninth. 0-2 the count to Marion, and pitch comes from Martinez, grounded to second. There's Harper, and he can't field it cleanly. Picks it back up, throws to first, and got him just in time. Oh, man. Nearly missed that one, but Harper able to recover and throw it over to first just in time. Brings up Bayram Hott with the bases empty and one away in the top of the ninth. Hott, the right-handed hitting shortstop, up for the sixth time this game, takes the first pitch on the outside edge for strike number one. 0-1 the count, and Hott is 2-for-5 on the night, but he's reached three times. One of those times was on an error. 0-1 the count. Pitch on the way home, gets a swing and a miss for strike number two. 0-2 the count. Hott singled back in the eighth inning after grounding out in the seventh on a 10-pitch plate appearance. But on the fifth, he reached on an error, an E6. 0-2 the count on the way home. Grounded to third. Picked up by Akko. Long throw over to first and got it in time on the 5-3 putout. Jafet Martinez working efficiently here in the ninth inning and trying to get out of this one and send us to the bottom of the ninth. Still 18-0, Madison. And now up to the plate, it's Sean Britt, the left-handed hitting catcher. Lefty-righty matchup with the bases empty and two away in the top of the ninth. Britt 2-for-5 on the game, and the first pitch he swings and misses on. It's an 0-1 count. Britt grounded over to third base in the eighth inning, but it was an E5. A fielding error from Madinako that allowed him to reach. 0-1 the count on the outside edge, called for strike number two. Now an 0-2 count. Prior to that error, he flew out to right field in the seventh, and he singled in back-to-back innings in the fourth and fifth. Also grounded out 4-3 in the second inning. 0-2 the count. Martinez looking to get out of this inning, and the pitch is in there, called for strike three. Three up, three down on nine pitches for Jafet Martinez. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on base. We head to the bottom of the ninth, and it is 18-0 Mallards here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
And we welcome you back into Rafters Baseball. It's the bottom of the ninth inning and an 18-0 lead for the Mallards. It went 1-2-3 for Jafet Martinez back in the top of the ninth inning, but Rafters still looking in the wrong direction right now. They have seen their last eight batters in a row be retired by the Mallards, and they have just one hit this game. Drew Thompson was the last batter to reach successfully for the Rafters. He is also the batter that will lead off the top of the ninth. Rafters down 18 runs. They've got three outs to make the comeback, and well, safe to say the odds aren't very high for that. And Drew Thompson, the right-handed hitting DH, up for the fourth time this game. He is 0-for-1, but he's walked twice as the first pitch to him misses outside for ball number one. Still looking for a hit. He hasn't seen a hit since early June. Of course, he hasn't played in too many games since then. Hasn't got a hit in his last six. This would be game number seven as the 1-0 count misses low for ball number two. 2-0 the count. And Thompson has struggled a little bit with strikeouts, and he did strike out earlier this season, earlier this game, as the 2-0 count is called for a strike. Now 2-1. Really just trying to get on base, though. That's his big deal, and see if he can end on a high note for the Rafters this game as the 2-1 count is taken for a strike. You know what? At this point in the game, I feel like you just want to swing it, you know? Got nothing to lose. 2-2 the count. Thompson, there are a bunch of kids over there in the playground ready for you to hit one their way, but he swings and misses. Was trying to send a gift over to them, but instead he strikes out swinging, and that's the first out of the ninth inning. Brings up Lachlan Maude with the bases empty and a one away in the bottom of the ninth. Maude, the right-handed hitting catcher. It's a righty-righty matchup with Noah Musolf on the mound. And Musolf, the new pitcher who took over for Drayton Liu. Liu went one inning, pitched three up, three down, and had one strikeout. First pitch on the way to Maude. Misses outside for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Maude, 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Trying to get back on top. 1-0 count is hit out towards right field down the line, but in foul territory, it will land in the grass to bring the count back even 1-1. Luke Skinner is on deck, and he is due up in this ninth inning, but the Rafters, at the very least, hoping to stop this streak of batters being retired. Don't want to go up, three down. Grounder over to first, picked up. And the throw back from Kosciuszko over to Musolf has him out to bring it to a two-out inning. 3-1 on the putout, and Luke Skinner, the last hope for the Rafters. But he'll at the very least have to step up to the plate twice this inning in order for the Rafters to come back into this one. But down 18-0 here. The Rafters just trying not to get shut out for the first time this season. Lefty-righty matchup. Skinner swings and misses at the first pitch he sees. 0-1 the count. Skinner was trying to end the shutout on that swing, but not able to make contact with it. 0-1 the count. 0-for-3 this game. He struck out twice. Last time struck out swinging, but did so on seven pitches. Takes the 0-1 outside to bring it back even. Eric Harper's on deck if it gets there. But Musolf looking for the big win for the Mallards. Looking to finish it back off. One and one the count. Misses outside. Now 2-1. And Skinner, he's great at taking his pitches. He likes to work plate appearances, and that's been a focus for him coming back from injury. But he has still struggled with getting hits. 2-1 the count. Swing and a miss. Brings it 2-2. Rafters down to their last strike here. And the Mallards looking to finish off the Rafters here. 2-2 the count. On the mound, Musolf looking to finish it off. The offering is in there, called for strike three. Skinner doesn't like it, and that ends the game. The Rafters in the ninth inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on base. And the final score, 18-0. The Mallards win. And man, I tell you what, this post-game show, we're just going to go ahead and get right into it real quick, but we do have to take a quick break. We'll be back with the post-game show in a couple minutes. This is Rafters Baseball on WFHR, and we'll talk about all of it and more, recapping the game and a look at the stats after this on WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, the fireworks about to get started here, but I'm going to go with a rather quick post-game show as there's unfortunately not too much to talk about this game. Really, everything going in favor of the Madison Mallards. They were able to take a big 18-0 victory, the final score of this game. Let's take a look back at how it all happened. First inning, two runs come across for the Mallards. They did so on a couple of RBIs from Carson Hansen and Cole Kosciuszko, and that was off of Jeremy Jones. Jones ended up going four innings, but he allowed six runs. One was in the third, and another three came across in the fourth inning. That's when things really started to get in favor of the Mallards. Top of the fourth inning, they scored three runs. It was a two RBI single from Frankie Carney that put them up so big on the scoreboard. However, also worth noting that Davis Hamilton then followed with an RBI single, and that made it a 6-0 game. Became 9-0 in the top of the fifth after a three-run frame from them. A couple of RBIs again, and an error sent home another run. So a couple of a single unearned run there by the Mallards as well. That went on the line of Brent Gallegos. He allowed two earned runs over three innings. Not too bad from Gallegos, as the sixth and seventh innings were both shut out. Eighth inning comes around, though, and Landon Desart makes his debut for the Rafters. Did not go his way. He allowed eight runs, although only a few of them were earned. And then in the eighth inning, he had to get pulled after recording just two outs. And after allowing the runs, he gave it off to Jafet Martinez, who came in and unfortunately allowed a few more runs, one of his own, but didn't allow any earned runs across, and then got into the ninth inning and went three up, three down. So the final score was 18-0. Nine runs came across in that eighth inning, all things told. Taking a look back at the stats, offensively, not too much to look at. Landon Gaz had the only hit of the game for the Rafters. Drew Thompson did reach base two times, draw two walks. So did Hayden Carlson. He drew a walk and got hit by a pitch. And in terms of pitching, the Rafters saw Jeremy Jones go four innings. Brent Gallegos went three innings, allowing two earned runs. And Jafet Martinez, one and a third innings, did not allow an earned run. Well, he had one strikeout. Jones also had four strikeouts in his start. But that is a look back at the game. Final score 18-0. And, well, looking ahead for the Rafters, they're going to replay the Madison Mallards tomorrow here at Witter Field. Game time is 6:35. It'll be Riley Peterson versus Seth Spencer on the mound for the Rafters and for the Mallards. So that's really going to do it all for our broadcast here. And like I said, a short post-game show, as there's not too much to talk about. Hopefully the Rafters can get back on the right track. But a big shout-out to everyone who helped make this broadcast possible and who always does, all my great coworkers here with the Rafters. And along with that, the coaching staff for always being open and available to talk, and some of the great guys that I get to talk to as well here as the broadcaster. Big shout out one more time to WFHR for hosting us as always, but that's going to do it from our broadcast. One final time, the Rafters 0, the Mallards 18. For myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
Folks, support and housing that they need. One good proof point of this is veterans homelessness. We have seen historic reductions in veterans homelessness across the country because the federal government put resources into it, which shows that homelessness is not some intractable problem. It's actually not rocket science. If you get someone housing and you get them support, they don't live outside anymore. But for most people, they don't have, there's not enough funding to go around. And that's even before these budget cuts come down the pipe. But I saw it in DC where I was a homeless street outreach worker, that when folks got housing, they got better. They lived inside, they had an apartment, they went to the doctor, they reconnected with family, their lives improved, and the lives of the community improves too, because everyone is healthier when we're all healthier. But unfortunately, it seems that the only thing that politicians can think of right now is throwing people in jail. And it just doesn't work. So we're really excited. 11 states have introduced a version of the Gloria Johnson Act, named after the same Gloria Johnson from the Johnson versus Grants past Supreme Court case. And this legislation says cities can't arrest, ticket, or otherwise criminalize homeless people unless they give them an adequate, decent place to go. And next week, this law is going to be introduced in Congress by Representatives Jai, Paul, and Frost, called the Housing Not Handcuffed Act. And we hope this jumpstarts the conversation and forces elected officials to refocus on real solutions to homelessness, like housing and support, because we know housing is too expensive for most people in this country. And until we address the fact that right now housing is treated as a commodity that rich people can use to get richer instead of something that we all need, we're going to keep having people living outside, and we're going to keep having millions of people one paycheck away from homelessness. But it doesn't need to be like that. We can solve homelessness, and we can actually have a country where everyone has housing that meets their needs. And when we do that, we're going to be a safer, healthier, and more just community.
Yeah, as we found out during the pandemic, there's a way to end childhood poverty. Give parents money. There's a way of doing this. We've just chosen not to. In fact, we could easily solve these problems. But again, we've chosen to enrich a minority of folks in this country, our billionaire class. And we're doing it again with this big, beautiful nightmare of a budget bill that they're going to ram through. They're going to cut Medicaid. They're going to cut into Medicare. They're going to go after taking, they're going to take food out of the mouths of children so that we can give massive tax cuts that never trickle down. But those are the priorities.
And it's all connected, right? There's a billionaire named Joe Lonsdale out of Austin, Texas, who made his billions at Palantir selling facial recognition technology to ICE and the government to deport migrants. And Joe Lonsdale started a think tank called the Cicero Institute, based out of Austin, which is peddling these racist, backwards, anti-homeless bills in states across the country. He is friends with Elon Musk, he is friends with J.D. Vance, he is friends with Peter Thiel, and he had a meeting at the White House a few weeks ago. These billionaires are the same people behind these budget cuts are behind this push to make it illegal to be homeless. And we are very clear that we need housing and supports, not tax cuts for the rich and handcuffs for the poor, because most people are so much closer to sleeping outside than they are to becoming a millionaire like Elon Musk or his friend Joe Lonsdale.
No, it's an excellent point. And I go back to, you know, my high school civics teacher, when I asked him, how do you know which party that you're going to align with? And his answer was, you know, all these years later, still spot on. You know, Republicans are for big business, the very wealthy, limited government. They're not going to do much for you, but they're not going to be always too deep in your pocket. Democrats are for, you know, big government, big social programs for the poor. And you folks in the middle, you're going to pay for both. So decide which one you're closer to. And I find that to be, you know, as I get older, an excellent explanation.
And the Democrats have not been good on this issue, right? I was out there when Joe Biden and his National Park Service evicted about 50 homeless folks from the McPherson Square Park in D.C. The Biden administration was not good on the criminalization of homelessness. And we see, you know, Gavin Newsom out in California, who is positioning himself as the anti-Trump and is certainly doing a good job responding to ICE. But he's actually taking the same pages from the Trump playbook to respond to homelessness by encouraging cities to make it illegal to be homeless. We need a political system that works for the many and not for the few. And instead, we see politicians of both parties passing these laws that make homelessness worse at a time where more and more people across the country of all parties and of no party struggle to pay rent. The lack of affordable housing is, in my mind, the biggest driver both of inequality but also of hardship for most people in this country. Yet politicians are not talking about it in ways that they should. I wonder what a campaign might look like if they focused on ensuring that everybody had a safe place to live.
No,
I think that would be a galvanizing political campaign.
And ensuring that, you know, people don't, when they lose their job, don't end up homeless, their standard of living doesn't fall, that we have a reasonable living wage, that we have health insurance and education for our children. All of these things. I wish there was a party that really focused on that wholeheartedly. I do. I want to talk about the Housing Not Handcuffs Act. What outside of saying that you can't criminalize homelessness, You know, what else does this do? Or is that just it? We're just saying you can't criminalize it. Is there anything to help, you know, move in a policy direction? Is there a way to help, you know, funding for states to do things, anything?
Yeah, so this bill is introduced in direct response to the Supreme Court ruling last year, and it's very simple. It says federal agencies can't criminalize homelessness. That's it. It's very simple. It doesn't impact what states can do, although states are introducing similar versions of the same legislation. But you're right. This bill in and of itself isn't going to solve homelessness. So we're hoping what happens, what happened in Miami happens across the country. There was a federal ruling that said Miami couldn't throw folks in jail for experiencing homelessness. And Miami, because they still were a tourist district and wanted people to come downtown, decided, well, if we can't throw folks in jail, we got to do something. And they expanded the supply of housing and shelter, and they reduced homelessness by half. That's what we want cities and states to do. Unfortunately, the consent decree that was prompting Miami's action expired. They went back to throwing folks in jail, and homelessness went back up. So we see, again, these things don't work. But if politicians don't want to see folks living outside, the only way they're going to meaningfully address homelessness is by funding housing and support. And that needs to happen at the city, state, and federal level. Unfortunately, for the first time ever, we have a HUD secretary who's asking for the funding for affordable housing to be cut. That's not going to help anybody. All that's going to do is to create more people experiencing homelessness and place this burden further on cities and states who are already strapped and already struggling with the demands that they're met with. We have to fundamentally change how we do housing in this country. Housing should not be something that you can only afford if you're wealthy. Housing is a basic human need. We all need a place to sleep. We all need a place to wash up. And when we ensure that everyone has the housing that they need, we are healthier, we are safer, and we're better for it.
There you go. Jesse, I appreciate you taking some time for us, explaining and walking me through all this. I appreciate it. Hope you'll come back if and when this bill passes, and keep us up to date on what's going on.
Absolutely. And check out our website, housing.handcuffs.org. We're going to have a bunch of information about the Housing Not Handcuffed Act up in a few days. So folks should tune in and check it out. Thank you so much, Rick.
I appreciate your time, Jesse. Jesse Rabinowitz, Campaign and Communications Director there at Homeless Law. Check out their website, homelesslaw.org. Want to hear your thoughts. Have you experienced homelessness? Have you been harassed, intimidated, any of that? I want to hear the stories. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. And take a quick break. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1971. At 2:51 a.m., Battalion 12 Chief Leo Najarian of Los Angeles heard that there had been a tunnel explosion. That February, a 6.5 earthquake had killed 65 people in the area. Now it seemed tragedy had struck again. Just the night before, Chief Najarian had been called out to the same address. The Lockheed Shipbuilding and Construction Company was digging a tunnel over a mile long for the Metropolitan Water District. Chief Najarian had been called out when four workers were injured due to a minor explosion. He had found that the workers at the site were not testing frequently enough for methane gas. One spark from a tool could touch off an explosion. Leaving instructions to test more frequently, he left and spent the next day worried. So when another explosion alarm came from the same address, he rushed to the scene. There he found the second explosion was much worse than the first. Workers were trapped 5 miles into the tunnel. Rescue workers attempted to reach the trapped miners through a vent shaft near their position. Paul Badgley, a miner at the scene, was part of 4 rescue attempts. He described the heartbreaking effort, stating, quote, "The first time we went in there, I could hear the guys hollering for help. The third and fourth time, I couldn't hear them. It's a hell of a feeling not being able to help them when you hear them hollering." 17 workers lost their lives. In the aftermath of the tragedy, the Lockheed Company was put on trial and fined heavily for their negligence. California passed stricter mining and tunnel laws and established a state occupational safety and health administration. 19 Los Angeles firefighters were awarded the Medal of Valor for their bravery. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @laborhistoryin2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, honestly, that communities across this country are trying to criminalize the downtrodden. I mean, that's the part that gets me. And I guess it goes back to my religious upbringing. I grew up in the Catholic Church in the 70s, where peace and social justice were still the focus. We hadn't gotten to greed and abortion yet, they were greedy. Let's not get carried away. But, you know, the idea of helping in the community, of not allowing laws to be passed to criminalize people who are all, we're kicking people while they're down. That's basically what we're doing. And understand, homelessness shouldn't be a crime. It's a crisis rooted in our systematic failure to address anything that we, the people, need. And instead of what we're getting from a lot of my Republican friends, especially, is, and look, there are Democrats who are just as heartless because, hey, got to stay in office. And it's, you know, we don't want those unsightly people. We should be doing something positive. And I've been saying for years, you know, we've got to be investing in affordable housing. There's no reason that you can't have housing developments for working poor and working class people. We build these giant McMansions, we build these huge developments, and what do we get? Nothing for poor people. No moderately sized little bungalows like my grandparents' generation built. So what we need is we need to build affordable housing, and that can only happen through government programs. Understand, you know, you look at the fabulous 40s and 50s and into the 60s, that was built off of government investment, massive amounts. So we need to invest in housing. Absolutely. Expand rental assistance, emergency shelters, supportive housing. You know, in Denver, as I remember, they've got an old warehouse that they turned into a living facility for people who have little rooms, and they're all the support services you need. There's a gym. There's all kinds of stuff to deal with people where they are. But we need more than just temporary solutions. We need actual housing. And this is where I thought Kamala Harris, you know, made a mistake and going, oh, we're going to give people $25,000 to buy a house, their first-time home buyers. No, that's, again, easily divided. I was like, build houses and put people in them. We've got to have policies that are going to help heal our communities. And that starts with jobs. That starts with, if the private sector can't or more likely won't create enough reasonable paying jobs, the kind of jobs that you can live on, then the public sector has to. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. There's a lot in the care economy we should be doing, that you could pay people to make a living, to be able to put food on the table, keep a roof over their heads, and not end up homeless. But we're not going to do that because there's no profit in it. And that's the sad reality. We've been sold on the idea that greed is good and the one who dies with the most toys wins. And the sad reality is it's never us. It's never the working class that gets the most toys. We're the ones who pay for it. And for me, in this moment, I'm disgusted by what I see coming out of Washington. And I hope other people are looking at Republicans, you know, the family values people, the Christian folk. And what they're doing is, well, immoral, unethical, wrong. Throw the word in there. I thought that they stood for something. I know. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Isn't that the argument they make? It's disgraceful what they're doing. And they should be called out on it. It should be one of these scenarios where we're talking to people and saying, look at these folks. Look at how immoral they are. Shame. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Do you have an idea? Is there somewhere in your community that's doing it right? I've seen some places with those little tiny homes. It looks cool as you know what. I'd love to hear it. Are there things out there that we could be passing along as best practices? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, podcast. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Some American citizens who'd been locked up in a notorious prison in El Salvador since earlier this year have been freed in a prisoner swap.
10 Americans who were detained in Venezuela are now en route back to the U.S. According to senior administration officials, they were freed in exchange for El Salvador returning 252 Venezuelans who were deported from the U.S. to a notorious El Salvadorian prison earlier this year. As part of the deal, Venezuela also released dozens of political prisoners and detainees from its prisons. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Three longtime Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies have died in an accident. More from CBS News Los Angeles reporter Jasmine Veal.
According to CBS News, two senior law enforcement officials say the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department's bomb squad responded to a Santa Monica garage where at least one